everybody, and welcome to the online worship service of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Amanda, one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. If you are worshiping with us on a Sunday morning, today is our One Nation Under God Sunday, and it is 4th of July weekend. We hope you found a way to celebrate this weekend and had community to gather with, whether that is friends, neighbors, family. We hope you enjoyed your 4th of July. If you are newer to our community, if you are ready to take a next step to get more involved, we invite you to fill up that I'm new here form. You can find that in our episode notes. That's how you tell us that you're out there, that you're watching and paying attention, and that you are ready to get better connected to this church. And if you've been online for a while and you haven't made it in person and you are in the area and you could come on a Sunday morning, consider this your invitation to join us on a Sunday morning. We love that God connects us online through our worship service, but we know that God shows up in a special way in person. And so we invite you to come to one of our Sunday morning experiences. Let me pray for us and then we'll jump into today's message. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks that your Spirit joins us whenever we worship and we long to connect to you. God, wherever we are and whatever we are feeling today, we pray that you are with us, that your Spirit comforts us where we feel uncomfortable, and that your Spirit challenges us where we need to be challenged. God, and more than anything, we pray that your grace and your love is made known to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you never really know what kind of parent you're going to be until you are in it, until you are parenting. And I became a parent during the summer of 2020. That was at the height of the pandemic and things were still locked down here in Illinois. So a lot of all my first experiences, first memories of our little family and of my little one, let's just say they were not as I had planned. Turns out I'm the kind of parent who gets really excited about holiday outfits. I think maybe my excuse for that is we were trapped in my house and about the only thing we could do to gather and celebrate special milestones and occasions is like send a cute picture to our family members. But it turns out I love a holiday outfit. I love Christmas dresses. We wear pumpkins all October long. This year, one of our friends made my girls matching Valentine's Day sweatshirts for our PRPC Kids Valentine's Day party. But above all, I think what I love is a baby in red, white, and blue. My girls had more red, white, and blue outfits than they knew what to do with, and they had holidays to wear them for. But there's just something about these summer celebrations, this bright red, white, and blue outfit that made me stupidly happy during those first experiences of parenting. And it might seem trivial or unnecessary. I felt like it was trivial and unnecessary, especially given everything that was going on in the world in the summer of 2020. So many of my experiences becoming a parent were clouded and overshadowed by things outside of my control. And there's really so much more I could say about that, and it's all very top of mind right now because my COVID baby just turned 5 years old. But one of the things I struggled with that year was how to celebrate the goodness of a new baby when the world around me seemed to be struggling so much, seemed to be more dangerous and more divided than I had ever experienced. In the summer of 2020, we were still in the early months of the pandemic, and there was so much confusion and a lot of fear. And there were riots across the country, demanding racial justice, but also creating a lot of damage. And we were separated. We were so separated from our sense of normal, our normal lives, from our loved ones, and from our sense of safety. So posting cute pictures of my little one in these cute holiday outfits, well, it didn't feel like I was reading the room. So there wasn't a lot of sharing. There wasn't a lot of celebrating because it just felt like it didn't fit. What do you do when that's happening? When there are two things that are true? When the world is both beautiful and terrible, when we have reason to celebrate and reason to lament, how do we live in that liminal space? It's some of what I think people might be experiencing right now about the state of our world and the celebration of American independence. 4th of July, especially if you've got kids, it just feels like that quintessential summertime. It's fireworks and late nights and sparklers and hot dogs and popsicles. It is that sticky sweetness of nostalgia. Regardless of your age, I hope you got to soak in some of that goodness this weekend. But if you're struggling with what you feel about America today, if you feel like fireworks and parades aren't reading the room with all the weariness that you have in your heart and your mind when you think of our country, I want to offer you space for that as well. If you've been with us for a while, you know we really respect the work of Kate Bowler, author, historian, and professor at Duke Divinity School. In an email to her community this week, she gives permission for this mixed bag of emotions we might feel this week about celebrating this holiday. She writes that what she keeps circling back to is this, that the versions of freedom we celebrate publicly don't always feel like freedom privately. She says the bootstraps model of independence, the one where everyone is expected to manage their own needs and quiet their pain and somehow solve every problem with sheer force and determination, has done a number on us. It tells us that needing others is a failure of character. She asks, but what if real freedom isn't about independence at all? What if it's about interdependence? There is something about giving in to our interdependence that we struggle with. There's something deeply ingrained in this culture that is resistant to needing help from others. Like the stubbornness of a toddler who wants to learn a new thing all by themselves, we want to do it all by ourselves. And it's breaking us. And it's breaking us communally. In Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2, we read that Paul's chief concern is the unity of the community of believers. According to Paul, if there is one thing that is to identify the Christian to the outside world, it ought to be the humility they demonstrate in their sacrificial love to one another. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look in not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." In taking on the humility of Christ, which is demonstrated in Christ choosing to empty himself for the sake of the world, giving up equality with God, all power, all control, to submit to the vulnerability that is humanity, Christ modeled for us an ultimate sacrificial love in the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi to adopt this mindset of humility as the foundational identity for the community, as the standard for how they live together, and the signal to the outside world, to the other communities around them, about who they are and who their God is. The question I have for us today is, what gets in the way of our pursuit of humility as individuals, as a church, as a nation? Humility is hard. Humility is hard because we want to be right. Humility is hard because giving up power is hard. Humility is hard because it opens us up to criticism. Humility is hard because it's lonely. Humility is hard because it's countercultural. One thing I think gets in the way of our practices around humility is fear. We don't really trust one another. We don't really believe that if we are selfless towards others, that anyone will in turn be selfless towards us. We don't really believe that if we are selfless, anyone will be in turn selfless towards us. We're scared. We're scared that if we give up what we have or what we could have to benefit someone else, then there will be nothing left for us. And the vulnerability of that terrifies us. But it's like the Apostle John says, perfect love casts out fear. As followers of Jesus who acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior, who have received grace from Jesus Christ and have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, what do we have to be afraid of? We have a perfect love. What if every follower of Jesus, everyone sitting in a church today, took one step towards humility in service of another? What if in that act of service, it allowed someone else to be receiving of that love of God? And what if that power of receiving love from God filled them with enough courage to be selfless and sacrificial in their own life? What if the antidote to our weary hearts and our suffering relationships was right in front of us? A life lived out of humble submission to a God who lived and died and rose again to create a new order, a new way of life, heaven on earth. What would it look like if all of us took that a little more seriously today and feared less about what we might miss out on in this act of humility, and instead took on the humility of Christ and made that our foundational identity, what the world looks at, what the world notices that is different about us, how we carry ourselves in the world, how we serve our community, what it's like to be in relationship with us? What would it look like if we all took a step towards humility today? I'm not gonna tell you that all your concerns and worries about our nation right now are invalid, or that what you feel like is worth doubling down on and fighting for when it comes to this nation isn't worth it. But as followers of Jesus, our foundational identity is not the nation we belong to, but the kingdom of God. And God's love, God's grace, God's gift is for the whole world. And God invites all of us to be a part of making that love known in the world. That's our responsibility today and every day. Amen.